कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदना व्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदना व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी
जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय
जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी
जय गोपी जन वल्लभा
यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे
जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे
जय हिंद। विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रियव्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्यसी श्रीमद्वैंग्रह सभी चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद सुतहित गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की श्री प्रभुपाद की श्री प्रभुपाद नुगा की समवेत भक्त वृंद की नित्ताई गौर प्रेमानंदे All glories to some of the bodies. All glories to some of the bodies. All glories to some of the bodies. All glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Gauri Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12 Text 29. Iti rajnya upadishya vipra jataka kovidaha labdha pachitayah sarve pratijagmuhu swakan grihan. Please repeat. Iti rajnya upadishya.
Iti rajnya upadishya.
Vipra jataka kovidah labdha pachitayah sarve prati jagmuhu svakan grihan iti rajnya upadishya Vipra-jataka kovidah Labdha-pachitayah sarve Prati-jagmuhu svakan grihan Iti rajnya upadishya Vipra-jataka kovidah Labdha pachitayah sarve Prati jagmuhu svakam grihan Thus, Rajne, unto the king, Upadishya,
having advised,
Vipraha, persons well versed in the Vedas. Jataka Kovidah, persons expert in astrology. And in the performance of birth ceremonies. Labdha Apachittayah, those who had received sumptuously as remuneration. Sarve, all of them, Pratijagmuhu, went back. Swakan, their own, Grihan, houses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation: thus, those who were expert in astrological knowledge and in performance of the birth ceremony instructed King Yudhishthira about the future history of his child. Then, being sumptuously remunerated, they all returned to their respective homes. Purport: the Vedas are the storehouse of knowledge, both material and spiritual. But such knowledge aims at perfection of self-realization. In other words, the Vedas are the guides for the civilized man in every respect. Since human life is the opportunity to get free from all material miseries, it is properly guided by the knowledge of the Vedas in the matters of both material needs and spiritual salvation. The specific intelligent class of men who were devoted particularly to the knowledge of the Vedas were called the Vipras, or the graduates of the Vedic knowledge. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedas, of which astrology and pathology are two important branches necessary for the common man. So the intelligent men, generally known as the Brahmanas, took up all the different branches of Vedic knowledge to guide society. Even the Department of Military Education, Dhanurveda, was also taken up by such intelligent men, and the Vipras were also teachers of this section of knowledge, as were Dronacharya, Kripacharya, etc. The word Vipra mentioned herein is significant. There is a little difference between the Vipras and the Brahmanas. The Vipras are those who are expert in Karmakanda, or fruitive activities, guiding the society towards fulfilling the material necessities of life. Whereas the Brahmanas are expert in spiritual knowledge of transcendence. This department of knowledge is called Jnana Kanda, and above this there is Upasana Kanda. The culmination of Upasana Kanda is the devotional service of Lord Vishnu, and when the Brahmanas achieve perfection, they are called Vaishnavas. Vishnu worship is the highest of the modes of worship. Elevated Brahmanas are Vaishnavas, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the science of devotional service, is very dear to the Vaishnavas. And as explained in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge and is superior subject matter above the three khandas, namely karma, jnana and upasana. Amongst the karmakanda experts, the jataka expert Vipras were good astrologers who could tell all the future history of a born child simply by the astral calculations of the time, lagna. Such expert jataka Vipras were present during the birth of Maharaja Parikshit and his grandfather Maharaja Yudhishthira, awarded the Vipras sufficiently with gold, land, villages, grains and other valuable necessaries of life, which also include cows. There is a need of such Vipras in the social structure, and it is the duty of the state to maintain them comfortably as designed in the Vedic procedure. Such expert Vipras, being sufficiently paid by the state, could give free service to the people in general, and thus this department of Vedic knowledge could be available for all. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. నమాహోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దినామునే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పశ్చాత్ దేశ తారిణే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీయద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌరభక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. We are coming towards the end of the chapter, a portion of the chapter where Maharaj Parikshit's glories, predictions are being given by Brahmanas who were invited by Yudhishthira, Vipra. And it is a custom that when the child is born, that great pundits who know these things are invited and they come and predict things about the child. It's auspicious to do it. So they see marks of the child, they see his lakshana, they see his jatakam, they see everything and they say this child will be like this. So we heard that till now, how this child will be like Brahma, how he will be like Narayana, how he will be like, you know, great personalities, Ranti Deva, Yayati, all these great things we heard about Parikshit Maharaj. And so now, after they have done all everything, Yudhishthira Maharaj is birth ceremony is performed and they are being sumptuously remunerated. Remuneration, dakshina is given to them so that they are happy and they are returning home. So this is a Vedic custom, Prabhupada is saying, that Brahmanas would be called and they will be asked to, from the Vedic literature and from their knowledge, predict about the child, bless the child, perform Vedic ceremony, the samskaras, everything. And they go back happily. So this class of people called Brahmanas, who know Vedic knowledge, they are very important in society, Prabhupada is mentioning. And they should be supported. They should be looked after. Their business is just to teach people the content of the Vedas. Yajana, Yajana, Patana, Patana, Dana, Parigraha. They are learning from the Vedas how to worship the Supreme Lord, as per the Upasana Kanda. Then, Patana Patana, they read the Vedic literatures, understand many things which are meant for both the material and spiritual welfare of people, and they instruct them. Yajana, Yajana, Patana Patana. Then, they give in charity and they accept in charity. See? So, this is common custom to call Brahmanas, feed them well, give them dakshina, and hear from them, and take consultation from them. See, even now in some houses, regularly, Brahmanical houses, Brahmanas visit, and questions are asked. When I was young, whenever there is a good day to be seen, my mother will see the Panchangam, and then the Brahmana will be called and it will be discussed with him. What about this date? What about this date? This date? Then he will discuss and tell this date is the best. Then what arrangement should be made? How it should be made? What you will do? Whom should be propitiated? What yajna should be done? What puja should be done? Everything will be fixed on that day and it will be done for the welfare of the family members. So this is common practice. Some places it still exists. And it is a Vedic custom. Now it has become a kashtam to call the Brahmana because Brahmana will not be available. Even if he is available, he will be a half-baked Brahmana he will not know certain things and claim to know certain things. And if you ask him difficult questions, he may give you some other answer. Basically, he wants a dakshina, and when you give the dakshina, he will say, not enough, give me more. In this way, he will show his greed and his improper Vedic understanding. And then you are also ritualistically involved in calling the Brahmana only for the sake of calling the Brahmana, not really because you want anything out of him. Because my mother did it, father did it, grandfather did it, I also should do it. And in this way, ritualistically, you also give some money and you send him off. Both of them are dissatisfied. Both are dissatisfied. See. So Prabhupada is mentioning here that in a cultured society, the Brahmana is secure. He doesn't feel like this. Give me money, I can't look after myself, this and all that. He is feeling very secure. First of all, because he is very knowledgeable. He knows the Vedas. Brahmajana Titi Brahmana. He knows Brahman. He knows the truth. He knows reality. So therefore, he is not very greedy or anything. He knows, I am spirit soul. He has full faith in that. So he is not in unnecessary anxiety. The symptom of the mode of goodness is that there is experience of knowledge. The symptom of the mode of passion is there is experience of work. Symptom of the mode of tamoguna is there is experience of ignorance. Means you actually completely get confused. You don't know right from wrong. Bewildered, illusioned. So in Vedic society, these are all very strong factors and elements. You don't have people properly giving you knowledge and directing you properly in life. Then people will be completely misled. They don't know what to do with life. And they will do all sorts of crazy things left to themselves. And human society will be in great misery, without a head. Head of the society is Brahmana. He has to do his duty of directing people, giving them knowledge, and all sorts of knowledge. Every knowledge he can give. Both for the Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, Kshatriya, for everybody the Brahmana gives knowledge. Even for the Brahmana, how to plow the field, how to plant, how to get, what season to do what, the Brahmana will advise. For the Kshatriya, how to wage a war, what tactic to use to govern people, how to get taxes from them, the Brahmana will advise. For the Vaishya, how to do business, how to do trade, how to get all the things, the Brahmana will advise. Because all that is given in the Veda. Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means everything material plus spiritual. Everything material, all types of knowledge, whether it is science, philosophy or anything. Any question you ask, the Brahmana can answer. Anything in any field you will answer. There is no computer science Brahmana, there is no engineering Brahmana and medical Brahmana. Accounts Brahmana, it's not like that. They know everything. Here nowadays, even in material knowledge, any knowledge that does not teach you about the self, is useless knowledge. Material knowledge that cannot keep Krishna in the center is bewildering. It bewilders you. That Krishna explains in the Bhagavatam also. Without me, whatever you see is illusion. And whole knowledge that you study is without me, without Krishna. Therefore, it completely illusioned. But still, great universities, big buildings come up. Huge campuses. Teaching Jada Vidya, bewildering people. You see. So, wonderful society. Look at this Vedic society. The Brahmanas, they don't need anything from anybody. They are very independent. They know knowledge and they speak it. They teach you, they tell you you must do it. If you don't do, this will happen to you. That's it. They're very powerful. They have knowledge and they don't want anything from you. The problem is they don't want anything. If they want something only, it is easy to manipulate them, to control them. But if they don't, one who does not want anything is a big problem. It's very difficult to control him. Very difficult to control him. So a detached person doesn't come under the control of anybody. He is only attached to Krishna and he remains under the control of Krishna. Not under anybody else. So Brahmanas are independent. An independent Brahmana should be independent. He should be left. Because he knows responsibility for life. He doesn't need anybody to teach him. He teaches others. And he lives a life of responsibility. Therefore they are very valuable in society. People call them and give gift. Take it for you. And he will take what he wants and give it off immediately. Dana parigraha. I don't keep it. Don't value it. In this way you cannot control them in any way. No desire for position, no desire for money, just desire for knowledge. Getting to know how things work in this world. What to do, what not to do, when to do, how to do, all these things they know. Therefore they are very valuable people. They are always consultants, ministers. Everybody will come and ask how to do this, what to do this, how to do this, and they will speak. This class of people are there even now. But only thing, they are doing the wrong thing, giving wrong education. See? So, that type of class of people, if they are not there in society, then society will go haywire. Now, Prabhupada makes a distinction. Yes, true, Brahmanas are very important. There are like distinctions among them. And he's speaking about the distinction between Vipra and Brahmana. Janmana jayate shudra, samskarat bhavet dvija, vedapatat bhavet vipra, brahma janat iti brahmana. When anybody is born, even in a brahmana family, he is a shudra. Why? Because he has no knowledge. He does not know. One who does not know is a shudra. That's what is a shudra. Shudra does not mean person born in a low caste family, labor class alone. The real definition is one who does not know. Second, one who finds it difficult to know because of too much of tamaguna. Therefore he does not know. Does not know is a fundamental principle. Cannot know because of tamaguna affecting him severely. See? So, janmana jayate shudra. When we are born, even in a big brahmana family, you are a shudra because you don't know. But, samskarat bhavet dvija. By doing samskaras, purificatory rites on you, you will become dvija, twice born. That is also synonymous with calling somebody a brahmana. Then, vedapatat bhavet vipra. When he reads the Vedas, he is taught the Vedas, and he learns under a guru, he becomes a vipra, knowledgeable person. But, brahma janatiti brahmana, one who knows the supreme absolute truth, Brahman, he is a brahmana. So Prabhupada is making this very subtle distinction. Vipra means good for material prescriptions. Everything material in the Vedas that is mentioned, how to enjoy life, what yajna to do, what homa to do, whom to worship for this type of sense gratification, everything they are teaching. They are the vipras who will come to the house and see the jatakam and say, and let your daughter get married to this person. At this time you put the marriage, this time put the nishchitambalam, this time you do this, everything they will tell you. They are vipras, they are very useful. But the Brahmana, he will teach you spiritual life. He will teach you how to get moksha from here. Brahma janatiti, he knows the truth that I am aham brahmasmi. I am spirit, not matter. And therefore, I should get out of this situation. That he will teach you. That he will teach you. That is why it is important for us to know What is the meaning of Vedic literature? Who should teach it? What we should hear? Brahmajana Titi Brahmana. Then Prabhupada goes further to say, a Brahmana, when he develops a devotional life, he becomes a Vaishnava. Amazing commentary. Prabhupada, so paka, gives. Therefore, a Vaishnava is the topmost position. Being a Vaishnava is the topmost position. You know transcendence, you know spirit, but beyond that you should know Krishna and devotion to Krishna. Brahmana knows Brahman, knows the truth, knows spirit, not only matter, but beyond that, the Vaishnava, he knows how to relate with the Supreme Spirit, personality of Godhead in bhakti is Vaishnava. That's the topmost goal of life. Love of God is the topmost goal of life. Prema pumarto mahan. So this is a gradation. You see, it's not enough if you are just a Brahmana. Brahmana means good, you are knowledgeable, you are a jnani. You know spirit. But beyond that is being a devotee, a Vaishnava. You see. This distinction is very nicely explained in the Bhagavatam. It is a secret. This is explained in the Vedic, in the whole Vedas, if you read, you won't understand this. Unless you read the Bhagavatam, and even the Bhagavatam is explained to you by a person who knows. That's why a pure devotee of the Lord only knows the scripture. In fact, Krishna is telling, only I know Veda. Vedaisya sarved ahameva vedyaha. Na anyo, Krishna is telling in the Bhagavatam, na anyo, nobody else knows. Mam tu, only I know. Me nobody knows. Mam tu vedana kaschana, Bhagavad Gita Krishna is telling. Vedaisya sarvera, in the same Bhagavad Gita is saying, by all the Vedas I am to be known. And then he also saying, nobody knows me. That means they don't know the Veda. They don't know the Veda. So you may be Trivedi, Chaturvedi. If you don't know Krishna, you don't know the Veda. You are no Vedi. Trivedi, Chaturvedi, no Vedi. If you don't know Krishna, no Vedi. Vedaisya sarve rahamev vedya. You see. Then somebody would ask in the Bhagavatam, but it says all this Phalashruti is there. If you regularly hear Gajendra Moksha prayers, you will not get bad dreams. Dusvapna will not happen to you. You will get prosperity if you read Dhruva Charitram. You will get wealth, happiness and heavenly destination if you read this. It mentions why. Why does it say that? See? Why does it say that? That is another mystery. The real meaning of the Vedic literature is in the Bhagavatam. That Bhagavatam also, it is hidden inside that. It is not available for everybody. Unless you develop devotion to Krishna under a pure devotee of the Lord, you will not get to know that rahasyam. That's why Krishna calls it rahasyam hi etat uttamam. In Bhagavad Gita. Very interesting. It's not that simply by reading Bhagavatam we get to know everything. Simply by saying certain, talking about a few shlokas, we will know everything. Very difficult to know. This shloka, very nice. Krishna is telling to Uddhava in Bhagavatam that you know, my dear Arjuna, is telling a very beautiful shloka. It says, Veda Brahmatma Vishayo Trikanda Vishaya Ime Parokshavada Rishayah Paroksham Mamacha Priyam. Parokshavada. Everything is mentioned in the Vedas indirectly. It is hidden. Parokshavadam. Parokshavadam. Mamacha priyam. I like that. Explaining about me in a hidden way. That's what I like. In the Vedas, if you want to know, you have to become my devotee and I will reveal it to you. But if you try to go and read the Vedas on yourself, thinking I am a great jnani, I know this, I know that, everything, it will escape you. You will not be able to get to the essence. Parokshavada mamacha priyam. That is the way I like to explain it. I like it to explain in a hidden manner. So this is very interesting. That is why even if you read and if you know, if you are a scholar, you cannot understand the absolute truth. You cannot understand Krishna. Only by devotion you can understand. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yascha smatatvatah. This is the rahasyam, this is the secret. Therefore a Vaishnava really knows the absolute truth. He really knows the reality. You see. That's why jnanis, philosophically understanding, it may be good. But when you philosophically understand, you have this little pride. You see. Tarko apratishta vibhinna shrutayo nasa rishir yasya matam na bhinnam. Rishis, they differ from each other in understanding the truth from the Vedic literature. Bhinnam, different views they have. Ekam sat vipra bahudha vadanti. The truth is one, but the vipra see it and speak about it differently. Why? That Krishna reveals in the Bhagavadam. He says the Brahmana, the great philosopher who understands knowledge, and another person similarly, both of them will have argument about things in the Vedic literature. But sometimes you understand why it is like that. Because of lack of devotion. That also Krishna is explaining. Yakchattayo vadatam vadinam va. Vivada samvada bhuvo bhavanti kurvanti chayisha muhuratma moham namo ananta gunaya bhumne yakchaktayo vadatam vadinam vai. Situated in the heart of all these great philosophers and brahmanas, the Supreme Lord, he bewilders each one of these great philosophers and they are lost in atma moham. They forget themselves and they get into agreement and disagreements. All glories to the Supreme Lord. Ananta guna, unlimited transcendental qualities he has got. He stays in the heart of people and makes them agree and disagree. Yakchak and vadam, they argue because both are bewildered and they argue. What an amazing shloka. These great scholars who know and very knowledgeable, they argue and they have a misunderstanding. And both of them not able to come to a conclusive understanding of the truth. It is because they are both bewildered. They don't know the truth. Both are bewildered. Vivada samvada bhuvo bhavanti kurvanti chayisham muhuratma moham. Bewildered. So it's Krishna in the heart who bewilders them. Just like when he was a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, he showed in his own pastime that a Brahmana can speak from any side. From any side he can speak. So he would sit on one side, argue about one proposition and defeat the other person. And they will all be finished. So then he will say, okay. I will take that proposition, you take my proposition. Okay. Then he will defeat again. He will take the opposite proposition and defeat the person again. So they will be completely freaked out. They just run away from him. Whenever they see him and say, come, let's sit and talk. He say, no, you are very bewildering. So you can take any side and defeat the person. It's a sleight of tongue, it's a skill. You can use the shastra and you can defeat the other person in argument. Tarko apratishta. Therefore, argument is useless because you can do both sides with the argument. Tarko apratishta vibhinna shrutayo. Shastra is so vast. And one rishi differs from the other. Nasa rishi yasya matam na binnam. So how to understand the truth? Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yenagata sapanta. The solid truth of religious principles and the whole secret of the Veda is hidden in the heart of a mahajana, a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, you must follow him. Krishna has invested the truth in the hearts of his devotees. They may not even be scholars, they may not even be great brahmanas, they may not be any of these things, but they can give you the truth. They can give you the truth. If you just associate with them, you will also become a person who understands Krishna, the absolute truth. This is the secret, you see. That is why it is Krishna is saying in another shloka in the 11th canto, Yuktam cha shanti sarvatra mayam madiyam udgrihna vadatam kimno durgatam. My illusory energy can do all wonders. Brahmanas, generally whatever they speak is accepted in society. Whatever they speak. See, yuktam cha shanti sarvatra. Everybody will accept what the Brahmana speaks. Brahmana, he speaks, he will accept it. And I can bewilder the Brahmana. And the whole society will accept that. As coming from the Veda, what cannot be accomplished if one takes shelter of my illusory energy? He's telling, anything can be accomplished if one takes shelter of my illusory energy. If you don't have faith in me, don't have devotion to me, then you can get completely waylaid and lost. It's only the devotee who knows. That is a great secret. So when we become devotees of the Lord, having faith in Krishna, having faith in the holy name, having faith in the Mahaprasadam of the Lord, having faith in the deity of the Lord, having faith in his representative, then it is revealed to you. That is the meaning of a Vaishnava. That is how a Vaishnava is very different from a Brahmana. Brahmana can become a Vaishnava. But a Brahmana normally will be a little proud of his Brahminical status. Sattvika guna that he has, and the capacity to understand and knowledge he has, he gets carried away by that. Sukha sanghena bhadnati, jnana sanghena chanaga. That sukham and the jnana will completely bewilder him. That good position, he doesn't develop devotion to the Lord. That is why it is very difficult to understand what is really dharma. That is why Bhishma, when Draupadi is getting disrobed, she is appealing to Bhishma, to Kripacharya, to Dronacharya, everybody, nobody can do anything for her. And Bhishma is telling, I am completely bewildered. How to apply dharma now? The ways of dharma are such that I am not even able to help you. I have dharma towards my kingdom. I have promised my father Santanu, his descendants, that I will protect. And then now so and so is the king and I am his senior counsel, guru, grandfather, everything. I am committed and here is a blind king. He is the king. Can I go against him? Can what being done to you be proved to be wrong? But it has happened properly in this way, how can I? So in this way I was completely stuck in between. And Krishna puts them to a test, he exposes everybody there. He exposes everybody and their different situations due to which reason they are not able to act. And Draupadi calls upon the Lord and he comes directly and saves her. All great personalities could not save Draupadi because they can't understand what is dharma. It's very confusing. You see, same way the Yamadutas, they were completely bewildered when they were ready to take Ajamila and they were thinking, ah, good catch, we are waiting for him. Most sinful Brahmana. Being a Brahmana is very responsible. And then if you be a sinful person, why being a Brahmana, it is worst. Low class person being sinful, okay, regular some small punishment. But if you are a high class man doing a low class sinful activity, then you will be punished like nothing. Very special. You will be nicely treated. So Yamadutas, normally they are sick of treating the regular fellows. Rarely they get Brahmanas doing completely sinful activities. So they were enthused to catch Ajamila and go back and report to Yamaraj. But amazingly, he chanted Narayana's name. And Vishnu Dutas came, cut off their ropes. They were stunned. They were asking, who are you? How can you stop us from doing dharma? Yama Dharmaraj has asked us to do this. And he is the topmost dharmic person. He is in charge. He is Dharmaraj. I mean, how can you stop? They just smiled, Vishnu Dutas. Cut off the rope. Dharmaraj rope, forget it. He has chanted the name of Narayana. That was stunning information to them. Are, I know he's done so much of adharma. We all know. We've got a list like nothing for him. Right? Then they have a discussion of what is dharma. It's very interesting dharma discussion. The Vishnu Duta, so what is dharma? And the Yamaduta saying, Veda pranihito dharma, hi adharmas tat viparyayaha, Vedo Narayana sakshat. They are telling, whatever the Veda says is dharma, anything you do against instruction of the Veda is adharma. In fact, the Veda is Narayana himself. This is what we have heard. They are telling, and then they are saying, Vishnu Duta say, he has chanted the name of that Narayana. Therefore, but, they smiled and they just told them, Ajamila, you go. That's all. And they were powerless. They could not do anything to Ajamila. So they went back. What? I got to speak to our boss. Something is wrong. Many people don't accept his authority. There are some fantastic looking people don't act because they were feeling very inferior to them also. They looked grand, effulgent, four-armed. They were same form as Vishnu. And these Yamadutas look completely different. They look just the opposite. So, in many ways, they were overcome by the powerful Vishnu Dutas. And they very casually told them, go, go. Go back and report to your boss and find out what is the real meaning. So, they went back, feeling very disappointed that there is somebody else greater authority than our authority. So they went and they asked Yamaraj, and Yamaraj said, "Oh, don't go near anybody who chants the name of Lord. Don't go near at all. It's not your domain." Why? Then he explained the glories of the holy name, explained the glories of Vishnu and Vaishnavas to them. They were informed. This is the secret of Vedic literature. Many people don't understand. Vedic literature can be understood only by devotees who chant the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They chant Hare Krishna and develop love for the Lord, they get understanding. Krishna simply gives them understanding. See, this is the secret. So, Veda, knowledge, is not something that you have to work very hard to get the knowledge. If you are thinking materially and you want to use that knowledge materially, go ahead, suffer, work very hard. But if you understand the absolute truth to be Krishna and immediately want to develop love and affection for the Lord, who is unlimited qualities he has got, so wonderful he is, so merciful he is, and out of great feeling, you want to connect with him in love and devotion, then immediately you'll get the knowledge, what you need. And you won't care for it also. You don't care for knowledge. In fact, senior great devotees don't even care that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Non-care means that's not very important for them. Their love for the Lord and the Lord's reciprocation far supersedes that. That's what the gopis are telling. Every morning we are chanting now Gopika Gitam. You know, how they are talking, you can see. First two, they're saying, oh, you are super soul in Antaratmadrik. You are, you know, we know that Brahma called you, that's why you were born. But you cheater, why you are doing this to us? In the middle of the night we have come and you are not allowing us to dance with you. Why did you blow the flute? Their whole relationship is very different. They are saying, we know this, you are in everybody's heart. We know that you are very great, but why you are such a deceiver? Kaitava. cheater, they use all these words. Boldly they use, boldly they use. And Yashoda Mahi takes a stick and points at the Supreme Absolute Truth and rings his ears and he's afraid. Mohuswasa kampa trirekaka kantha, and he's breathing up and down. Because they have control over the Lord. Why? Because of their devotion, he sells himself to them. This is the big secret. The devotees of the Lord, they know everything about Krishna. And by the yoga maya of Krishna, they become absorbed in loving reciprocational service with him. That is supreme enjoyment. So that is why this is a secret. It's not so easy to know. What is the goal of life? The goal of life is to achieve this ultimate love of God. Prema pumarto maha artha means goal, substance, value. What is the goal of life? What is the artha for life? Prema for the Supreme Lord. If you didn't get that, then you're still lacking. You may have even understanding of Brahman. You may be heavenly planets. You may be a great person in this world. You may be very successfully doing all your duties in your family. You may be any of these things. Still you are lacking. If you don't have love for the Supreme Lord, that is the essence of the Veda. That is the meaning of understanding this. So Bhagavatam, it speaks about that supreme knowledge. So Veda means, Vedaischa sarved ahameva vedyah. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. That is the purpose of the Veda. It leads you to that. But it uses marketing techniques. If you are very fruitive, it invites you to come and worship demigods, and through that it will teach you to stick to the Veda. Then gradually it will attract you to frustration with the so-called fruitive activities and climb up into jnana. In jnana, it will give you understanding of Brahman gradually, and you will renounce and you will become situated in sattva-guna. From there, it will take you further to understanding Krishna. Now that you are free from material contamination, you can understand the Supreme Absolute Truth, Parabrahman. And you can develop love for Him, then you can achieve love of God. This is the ultimate goal of Veda. It's not that, you know, our modern understanding of religion is anywhere near that. Most religions are all materialistic. They get stuck with materialism. That's why Krishna is denouncing in the 11th canto. If you use the Vedic literature only for material sense gratification, going to higher planets, you are ruined. He's saying that to Uddhava. You should not use it only for that purpose. It is a stepping stone to go to higher thing. From there, material sense gratification in a scheduled, restricted way, you go into Brahman realization. From there, you go into understanding Krishna, developing love for Him. If you don't do this whole thing, your human life is not successful. See, that is why the four Purusharthas are not taken greatly. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. It's not considered to be very great. Moksha is not considered to be very great. Jagannath Paladev Subhadramaiki. So these are amazing amount of knowledge is given in the Vedas about all these things. So wonderful. It is so attractive to read and understand how the world is set up, what is the background, how it is operating, how we are operating, and what we are supposed to do. All these things, so amazing. This is knowledge. Understanding Krishna is ultimate knowledge. That He reveals in Bhagavad Gita, and He says it is a secret. Arjuna, Rahasyam hi etad uttamam. The secret I am telling you. That's why people, although they read the shlokas, they don't understand it. They are fixed in fruitive activity. They use the Veda, they use the Bhagavad Gita to again teach people how to achieve material sense gratification. You know, somehow Krishna wants to give benefit to everybody. So even though you may not be fully purified, if you follow his instruction, even for material life, you can get purified. And you can achieve the highest state. See, that is why in Hare Krishna movement, sometimes people ask you all sorts of questions, especially in India. Hindus, Hinduism, we have a great challenge. Every time I take these Gita life courses, the bomb, the day when I speak about demigods and Supreme God, Bhagavan, is a real bomb. Everybody becomes totally depressed. I never knew this. I said, I did not say it, Krishna is saying it. I show the 7 chapter shlokas. 1, 2, 3. It is mentioned like this. Whole day they are very depressed. In the evening while taking prasad, nobody is talking to each other. Because it's such a blow that all my life, 40 years, 30 years, I worshipped, I went to Sabarimala for so many years and climbed the hill. Swami Sharanamayappa, I did, I worshipped Devi, I worshipped all these things. But I said, it's okay, nothing wrong. Because what did you ask? You asked for material benefit only, it's okay. But you saying Bhagavan is beyond all these things and this is all material. Yes, you asked for material benefit only. Yes. So what, why are you feeling so bad? You got what you wanted. But that is not the worshipable Godhead. Just that they are temporary itself makes them feel very bad. They are temporary? They are not God? No. It's such a shock. Such a shock. And the next day when I ask any questions, that thing you told yesterday about demigods, nobody is accepting it. I said, yes. That's meaning of material life. You see? So our Hinduism is riddled fully with this. It's all about temporary material benefit. Why worship at all? That's why some people come to the conclusion, why I need God? I'm able to get that without God. So they become atheistic. Right? You have got bad time. You may be useless fellow. You this thing. That's why you're worshipping God. That's what they think. If you work hard and if you do this, I'm getting without worshipping God. So these questions they can't answer. Both are material life, including the worship of God and not worship of God. Both are material life. That's very difficult to understand. Simply material life. One, licensed material life. One, vikarma. No license material life. It won't last for too long. But transcendence, beyond that, and the beyond that, higher to that, devotional life, Krishna, that is a secret. So, bulk of the people, all religions are materialistic. That's why Krishna is saying, sarva-dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. Give up all religion. I had a big problem understanding this translation. Dharma is religion? No, dharma is duty. Is what I told. So when I first read this translation, I thought, why is Prabhupada translating dharma as religion? Give up all religion and surrender to me? That means no religion is required? Only surrender to Krishna is required? Like that. You know, initially people have all sorts of questions. Completely confusing. Because the terminologies are wrong, people understand things wrong. And people teach you wrong, they practice wrong. And then they bundle it up and say it's Hinduism. Go to the temple. And everybody is thinking back. Intelligent people are thinking, why am I doing this? What's the reason behind? You ask, nobody tells you. Just ring the bell, yaar, and do namaskara. Just take the prasadam and eat and feel holy. Can't you see it? Feeling? Can't you feel it? Sit down. See. That's what you mean to you. We came all the way here. So long we climbed the hill, Badrinath, we came and we are feeling holy. See the nice scenery, see the bell, see the ring, see the Lord. What? No meaning, ritualistically following it. So when you get to start knowing meaning, you ask questions. To the extent that you become even bewildered and think, how can you say that? I have been worshipping Lord for so long. I have been worshipping Shiva. When Prabhupada came to Madras, to Chennai, you know, Giriraj Swami, at that time Giriraj and Brahmananda Swami and all that were speaking to one very senior, very well known person, great Hindu. His name was Ramakrishna, Mr. Ramakrishna. So when he spoke to the devotees, Brahmananda and all of them, he became very disappointed because he is a very great Shiva devotee. And they told, no, Shiva is a demigod and this and all. How dare you say that? What do you know? You are just European, you are the American. What do you know? Type of attitude. You don't know anything. You are just, but this mentioned in Bhagavad Gita like this and all. He was very disappointed. But he was a very important person. Because later, people started, when these two people were going around making life patron members, Prabhupada told them, and they were meeting people, said, did you see Ramakrishna? He's a very, very great Hindu. Every function, everything, he'll be there. All over Chennai, wherever we do. That time it was Madras. So they said, oh gosh, we have fried him up by telling Krishna, Krishna, Shiva. Better we have good relationship with him. So again they went to him. He said, why don't you come and meet Prabhupada has come. He said, okay, I want to meet him. Your Swamiji, I want to meet what he says. So he came in front of Prabhupada, Ramakrishna, and he met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada explained to him, bhakti means meant only for Krishna. He told, devotion, bhakti is meant only for Krishna, not for anybody else. Swamiji, you mean to say a devotee of Krishna only is devotee? There cannot be devotee of Lord Shiva? I'm asking. Yes, possible, but rare. Prabhupada, yes, possible, but normally it is not like that. Then he said, why? Because he's thinking, I'm a devotee of Lord Shiva. Why are you telling no? Then he said, it's like this, Prabhupada said that. If there is a liquor shop, bar, everybody goes into the bar. Why? Because they want to drink alcohol. Right? So what if a person, what if somebody says, no, I didn't go for that to the liquor shop. I went to inquire about something. Do such people normally go into the liquor shop? Very rarely. So he says, rarely that such a person will go into a liquor shop. Similarly, rarely will a person go to seek devotion from the demigods. He became very impressed. He said, it's true. Many of the Shiva followers, they are Dhanam Dehi, Vidyam Dehi, give me that, give me this. They have their, they are material, then Prabhupada explains a material thing and spiritual requirement. It's different. And then Shiva is mentioned, Mukti Pradatat Sarvesham Vishnu Revana Samshayaha. For giving mukti and liberation, only Vishnu can do it, there is no doubt about it. In this way, when people come to know, materialistic religion is not the purpose of the Veda. It's not the purpose of the Bhagavatam also. The real purpose to give you material facility is to become ripe to understand spiritual life and get into devotional life. One should never get carried away by material activities which award some sense gratification to you. That is not important. Human beings should not get carried away by material activities and the subsequent sense gratification that comes from that. That is incidental. That's not the purpose of life. Same way Krishna is telling, if you go on a trip with all these material homa, yajna and everything and forget the main purpose, then you are completely condemned. It is just meant to adjust material life a little bit. But our focus should be understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna. This makes sense because we are spirit souls, we are eternal. These things should be understood. This is proper education. But people, so-called Hindu philosophy, they don't educate people on anything to do with this. And they land up telling we are secular. Hinduism is so secular that anything goes in it. You can do anything you want and everything will be accepted. Big garbage. That's why other so-called false religions are perpetrating themselves. Because you are as good as them only. But if you speak the absolute truth, you will see they will also change. Because they get to know, this is what I wanted to know. Because every soul wants to know God. That's why Prabhupada went and spoke Bhagavad Dharma, the real religion. Dharma Projita Kaitavo Atraparamo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu Shivadam Tatpatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parairishwaraha Sadyo Hridyavarudyate Atrakriti Bihisushushubi Stakshanat He gave this information to everybody irrespective of what you say. I speak the truth, let us see you understand properly. And mostly people understood. Yes, I think what you're saying. Because the super soul is in the heart. You will impress everybody. Yes, what he's telling is correct. That is real religion. And immediately they wake up. It's a direct connection. Super soul in the heart and a pure devotee telling you. You cannot escape it. You feel guilty if you don't practice it. You get to know the truth. And after that, it is a lot of effort not to practice the real truth. Because inside, super soul is advising you. And instruction is coming pure to you from Krishna. In between, you are sandwiched. What will you do? You have to do it. This is the program of the Lord. Antaryami, Guru, Chaitya Guru, inside the heart, he is sitting. So merciful Krishna is. He is pushing you to surrender to him. With proper knowledge, understanding, everything. That is why the Veda is so important. It's a great gift to humanity. You see, Maya Mudgir Jiva Swata, on his own, this illusioned living entity cannot get liberation. It's impossible for him on his own. That is why, in order to do good for them, I have given the Veda, knowledge. So, that person who comes and explains the real purpose of the Veda is the real person who is Guru. Not there are so many gurus in other platforms, right from being violin guru, guitar guru, drums guru, mridanga guru, to teacher in the college teaching you your physics guru and your computer science guru, to becoming a guru who teaches you about fruitive activities, how to perform yajna homa and enjoy material life, to that Vadyar who comes to your house in the Brahmin family and chants Purusha Shukta and does Homa, Yajna and blesses you with material prosperity. To that Guru who gives you Brahman knowledge. In between, lot of false Gurus, I'm not talking about them. Now because of International Yoga Day proliferating, so many Yoga Gurus. Oh gosh. Filled with all bogus Gurus teaching asanas. They teach you to dance asana with life. And you suffer afterwards. Then beyond that, who gives you really moksha? And beyond that, Jnani, impersonalist Guru, is the supreme Vaishnava who gives you pure knowledge of Krishna. Very rare. Very, very rare. And we have the great opportunity to be following that person's instructions, very precious. So if we strictly follow Prabhupada's instructions and read his book, so brilliant purport. Subtle differences Prabhupada explains. He completely understands Vedic literature. What is the purpose? Everything else. So he is anytime able to say it. That brilliant lecture he gave in Conway Hall, London, which is published as Introduction to Isopanishad. So clear, simple language. So easy to understand. Complicated subject matter, simply explained. So only a devotee can understand. If you have understood, you can explain it simply. Only a devotee, bhaktya mam abhijanati, only a devotee can give understand properly of the Veda, what it is. Because he knows God. Out of love, he knows. He can explain. See? So we must be very, very grateful to Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada for his books, saving mankind and helping everybody with a clear path to Krishna, to the absolute truth. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Tat Sat, Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nittai Gaur Premanande. Any question or comment? You have any question or comment? Yes. If he is greater, does not mean he is not dear to them. Because they teach the Veda. Vaishnavas may be great. Greater than the Vaishnavas may be the pure devotee of the Lord. Greater than all of them is Radharani. Just because Krishna there are greater people than others in devotional levels, doesn't mean Krishna thinks like us, I like only Radharani, not all of you. It's not like that. Everybody in their particular positions are doing whatever they can to their best extent for explaining people. So he is giving his importance to the Brahmanas, because Brahmanas are very important, because they explain Veda and they keep people following my instructions, because I've given them in the Veda for all levels of society. So therefore they are very dear. Yes, if you become a Vaishnava, then you will become more dear to Krishna. That is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Brahmana is very dear, Vaishnava is more dear, and if you preach this information, you become most dear. That also Krishna is telling Bhagavad Gita. Nacha tasman manisheshu kaschinme priyakritamah bhavita nachame tasman anya priyataro bhuvi. There is nobody more dear to me than that person who speaks this knowledge to everybody else. Like that gradation of dearness also is there. Don't have to worry. Brahmana is dear. Anybody does his duty properly as given in the instructions of the Veda is dear to Krishna also. Just like for the father, the eldest son who has taken great responsibility for the business and he is doing things very dear to me. At the same time, his small brother, the son's brother, youngest child, who is now cleaning the car for father, is very dear, very nice, very dear to me. Because according to his level, he is doing. He is following my instructions. He is also very dear to me. He is also very dear to me. Same way. They are all dear to Krishna. Whoever follows Krishna's instructions is definitely dear to Krishna. Any other question? It depends on the situation. You can explain to people the real knowledge. Sometimes we sugarcoat it and explain it. Like it is mentioned, Krishna is telling, Parokshavado Veyoyam, Mama Chapriyam, I like to explain things like that. So sometimes we need to do that for people so that they become interested. Once they become interested, and once we have a relationship with them, they ask questions and we tell them, this is the truth. Then they will accept it because it makes sense. So gradually we can tell them according to the situation. Sometimes people have to be told. On that day we told openly to everybody, this is not yoga. What is not yoga, we told first. Doga, kitty yoga, that yoga, all these things. Pregnant woman yoga, executive yoga, all these things is not yoga. Sales yoga, you saw that? One salesman standing on one leg like this. Sales yoga. All sorts of yoga you can do. That's not the meaning of yoga. It makes sense to many people. Yeah, I always thought they're just selling it like nothing. It's a big business. They've made business out of the great tradition. And that's why they are promoting it. Nobody's going to follow it. They're going to do it for business. Right? So we call the bluff. And we tell this what it is. So there are people, maybe 10% of the people are interested in the real yoga. They'll come up and say, correct what you said, I want to know it. Fine. Yes? To which class? Vaidya. I think Vaidyans belong to the lower class. I'm not very sure. Vaidyans are physicians. They're definitely not Brahminical class. That much I know. Must be some, and they're not Kshatriya class for sure. They're not rulers. They have power, but they must be on the little lower level. I wouldn't know exactly what. as of now, but we can find out. It's an interesting question. The law of God is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, forget all laws, surrender to me. That is the first law. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam praja. You see, that is the first law. For those who cannot follow the first law, you can follow the second law. That is different type of dharmas you follow. It will be materialistic, that this, okay, some concession. The child cannot take the medicine because it is bitter, it is that. So therefore, you mix it with sugar, which you are not supposed to eat, and do this and feed the child. He eats it. So, but the best thing is to eat it without sugar, because sugar has got its own side effects. So, in this way, Krishna is, okay, you are very interested in sense gratification, so I mix it up inside and give it to you. That is dharma, varnashrama dharma. I enjoy material sense gratification, but you have to worship. Worship God, thank you for the sense gratification you gave me, and all that. But if you stop worshipping, immediately you become vikarmi. So he has mixed it nicely and given. So anybody who follows that secondary dharma, is also following the Lord. He'll gradually get elevated to the higher dharma. So the ultimate dharma is to surrender to the Lord. That is the first. You see, paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshaje. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhati. Because only by following the topmost dharma and achieving perfection will you become happy. Right? So the secondary dharmas and the primary dharma. You must do your primary duty first. And all secondary dharmas should assist you in doing your primary dharma. If the primary dharma is never done and you get stuck with all the secondary dharmas and do yani kani chapapani around that only, and keep on going round and round without doing the primary dharma, what is the use of the secondary dharma? Because the secondary dharma is meant to lead you to the primary dharma. So what is the use of you doing all your duties perfectly and not doing anything of the primary dharma of surrendering to the Lord? You are not given any credit. Right? Om Tat Sat. Any other question? Yes. Even devotional things may be misrepresented by some people. Why do you take it for granted? That somebody may say, in Kali Yuga all sorts of things can happen. It's not that only the horoscopes are manipulated. And the devotional activity of some people that you profess to know or come to know about, they also can be, you know, sometimes at stake for you. Anyway, the point is that just because there are people who are exploiting the science of astrology and making money out of it or something, we cannot say, therefore we cannot follow it. You can follow from a person who is reasonably giving you a clear account. He may be a devotee and he is giving you a paka understanding and interpretation without much materialistic this thing. He is doing it as a seva like that. So you can take that account and you can still look into the horoscope, because as long as we are not fully pure, as long as we are in the material world, we are not fully pure, and when we get do the samskaras like vivaha samskara, we have to look into the horoscope. Prabhupada said, look into the horoscope for a marriage. So, you know, a pure devotee may not bother about it, because for him everything is Krishna, which is what is the right thing to do. But leading a life in the material world and having to do many material duties, accepting the responsibility of married life, it's better we check out on the material horoscopes of each of these people, so that we can adjust it. We know what, we can't ask for too many things, we know what's in store for us. To that extent we are prepared. Like that. Some strong devotees may not bother because they know we'll always depend on Krishna and we'll battle it. Some who are weaker may say, no, I better look into that. I want this properly done. See. The difference is like, if you don't look into the horoscope and still be determined, you have to be prepared for facing many different difficulties. I can take this newly laid road in a bike. It goes very nicely up to there, to the end, and takes you to the Avanashi Road. Clean rides, smoothly you can go. Within a few minutes you'll be in the end. But if you had come here earlier, before this road was laid, it was like this. It was such a trip going from there to here. Practically speaking, it's very difficult. So you can say, no, I don't want to lay this road. Let it be natural like this. You take that stand and every day you go like this and suffer and go every day. But you take the stand, no, I want to lay this road and make my ride clear. Two things. Both will take you to the destination. One will take your jaws out and give you a back pain and maybe make it difficult for you. The other one, peacefully you reach the destination. Right? So, making the road proper is seeing into the horoscope and checking, listen, I cannot, this is not matching. Tata bye bye. The road is not proper. This one, the road is better. Both of us looks like we can make it with some adjustments and you have good understanding, it says, so the road will be better. So devotees take that. It's better to take one with a good road. I know you are a devotee and you can handle even a bad road. But why take the trouble? Take a good road. You know, if the lift is available, take it. Don't go on the staircase. That's the type of decision on the back. I think it makes clear. Yeah. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.